Looking in some of the New Testament and a little bit in Old Testament as well. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words that we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Amen. Let's unite for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you and praise you for the gift of salvation that you've offered through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died, that he rose again, and has gone to prepare a place for all those that love him. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to your leading, to your guiding, and that as we sing your praises, Father, we just rejoice that you are so good to us, that you have blessed us in our land and as a community and as a people. Father, we just ask that you would be in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would have free course here and that Satan and his forces would be rebuked at every corner. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are receiving your word. Father, again, we just want to lift your name and exalt you for who you are, for your greatness. We are in awe of all things that you have created and many things we do not begin to understand, yet we know that your hand was in every single thing. So we praise you and glorify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn it over to song leaders.
Thank you. 113.
Thank you so much for that singing and that playing. So if you have your Bibles along this morning, we want to start off, as I mentioned, in the Old Testament. We're going to turn to the book of Proverbs. And we'll be turning to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. So as I mentioned, the topic of this morning is fear of God. And a lot of times we say, respect, but fear of God. And here's what is written in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So what does this verse tell us? A wise person will fear God, will have the ultimate respect for God. And so how do we put that in perspective, that you and I can understand. So if you are in the workforce, perhaps we can look at it this way. There's always a hierarchy in a workforce. So let's look at the corporate world. So maybe you're at a location and you have a manager and you work beneath that manager. You have this respect for that manager. That manager will pay, maybe he will have a manager and it goes up like that. And you have respect for one another. And then you are obedient. And so when we look at that in Scripture, are we being obedient to God in our daily walk? Or do we allow things because of circumstance? And do we begin as a community, as individuals, as a church, to accept things that are no longer godly? Because if we're doing that, we do not fear God. We have lost respect for God. If we are allowing sinful things into our lives and into our churches, which is a real concern, we know we have false teachers. We've been told that this is going to happen. We know that they're in our churches. And it's, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel there's more and more false teaching out there. And we need to be able to discern the truth from the lie. And the only way we're going to do that is if we fear the Lord and understand that we have to have a relationship with Him and that we are going to have to be in His Word to be able to understand what the devil and his forces are trying to accomplish. So do we have fear for the Lord? All of us have to look in the mirror and ask that question of ourselves. Do we actually fear God? It's important for us to understand that we need to hold God in the highest esteem. Think about your everyday life, and you've got to ask yourself that question. Am I actually doing that? And I wonder if we would really pay attention to things in our lives. And I'll try to put it in a way that maybe helps me understand it a little bit. But if I'm about to partake in something that I know is not godly, and I go ahead and do it anyway, do I have fear and respect for God? I can't be doing things like that. You can't be doing things like that. And like I said, it's happening in our communities, in our homes, in our churches. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 to 14, it says this, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even words of truth." So that is what we have to focus on. We have to focus on the truth, which is the Holy Bible. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Here's what we need to do in the next part of this verse. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." That verse 14 is telling us we're not hiding anything from God. You cannot hide anything. And we try, don't we? If we are honest with ourselves, we sometimes think we can hide things from God. and we cannot. But I want to spend a little time on verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is one way that we can measure ourselves. If we are keeping the commandments of God, do you know the commandments of God? Do I know the commandments of God? If we don't know them, we need to know them so we can understand what we need to do. This is very important for us. We are supposed to be the light of the world, and we cannot fall into the trap of being part of the world and I'll say it this way, part of the church. And what I'm trying to say here is that on Sundays, we're in the church and we're doing what looks righteous. But the rest of the week, we're involved in all these worldly things that are not godly. That's a problem. And we need to have a measuring stick. What is that measuring stick? And that is keeping the commandments of God. That's how we need to measure ourselves. So we need to take a good hard look at ourselves. And where do we stand? Do we fear God? Do we fear God? And I think sometimes we can all say that at some point in our life, we have shown a total disrespect to God and some of the things that we've done and some of the things we have said. Then what we need to obviously do is seek forgiveness. But how many times have you heard somebody use God's name in vain? We hear it a lot. We hear people saying stuff like, "Oh my God," when they are referring to something that has happened maybe around them, that they're using it as an expression. It's not right. Or when they use the words of our Lord and Savior and they say Jesus Christ as a swear word, what are we thinking when we do stuff like that? That shows total disrespect, and we cannot do that. We need to admonish those that do. So we're going to have to stand up. We are in a time when it's getting to be, or I don't know, we are in a time when it is acceptable for the world to say these things, and they don't even expect people to challenge them on it. And we need to fix that. Let's turn to Job chapter 28. In Job chapter 28, verse 28, it's just the one verse I want to read. "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." So when we respect God and have fear for God, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. In the latter part of that verse, it says, "And to depart from evil is understanding." So we shun evil. So you gain wisdom by the fear of the Lord, and you depart from evil because now you have an understanding. How many of you in your journey, in your life, from when you understood that you needed Jesus Christ and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, how many of you can relate to this verse in the sense that you have become wise to the Word of God, to his commandments, you're willing to follow him, and your lifestyle, the things you do, the things you say, have changed? Can anybody relate to that? Can you look in the mirror and say, God has helped me eliminate things in my life when I became a believer? And I think we can all say, yes, there are certain things that we have gotten rid of in our life. And sometimes these things want to creep back into our life. But if we have the wisdom of God in us, the fear of God in us, we should be able to understand and recognize those things and push them back. We need to be led by God. And so many times we are led by our emotions. Emotions sometimes really can actually dictate some of the decisions we make. Many times we know what we're going to do, or we think about something, we say, you know what, I know I shouldn't, but it feels right. What do you do with that? If we keep going on feelings, we are going to falter. We look at situations in life, and maybe some of you are even dealing with this in your families, where there is a lost person in your family unit, and you know what they're doing is wrong. If we have respect for God and we are to keep the commandments of God, is it not our duty as believers in Christ to try to help them and guide them to the truth? I believe it is. There are certainly benefits to wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be reading the first 7 verses. The first verse starts off this way. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. This is something that should be within us, to recognize that we recognize and understand what God's commandments are. The result of that is, for the length of days and a long life, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon thy table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So again, we see here that we need to depart from evil. We, in verse 5 and 6, it's a very common passage of Scripture, I think, to most of us. We are to trust in the Lord. And that means with our whole heart. We can't lean on our own understanding, because we can't even begin to fathom all the things that are going on. We just can't. God does. So we have to turn to him. I find it interesting in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And then it says, bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So when we look at mercy and truth, they should be the very core of our existence. Are we merciful to people? And if we look at truth, do we stand on it? Are we firmly rooted in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to be able to answer that question with, yes, I am. And I hope that's where we are at. And if we are not there today, then let's move to that objective. Let's draw closer to him. So how many of you are married? How many of you are married? How many of you want to get married? You guys over here are blushing, and that's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But when you start a relationship, now some of us have to go back a ways. Some of you have been married for probably north of 50 years. But when you got married, did you know everything about your spouse? Nope. You did not. What did you have to do? Well, of course, you live together, right? You discuss things. You learn from actions. You learn from things that are going on about your spouse. See, that's something we can probably all understand. And even in your family unit, if you're not married, as you grow up, you learn from your mom and your dad, if you're blessed with grandparents, you learn from them. And those are all good things. And here the Bible is telling us the benefits of wisdom are right here. They're laid forward for us here in Proverbs. But we also need to understand that we need to fear God and respect God. When you I want to go back to this marriage thing. So when you first got married, did you have the utmost respect for your partner that you got married to? You probably had to develop that, because you're two different human beings coming together, trying to figure out how this is all going to come together and how it's going to work. And so far, in all the years that while we've been married, my wife and I have been married, and the counseling that we have done for people that are getting married, it looks different for everybody. So I would say there's really no man-written book out there that can describe exactly your situation. Of course, the Bible is God's inspired word. So if we look to it to build that relationship in marriage, we can somewhat compare that to how our relationship grows with God, if we are involved with God. If you don't have God in your life, you are not going to draw closer to Him. That is something you need to do. So as when you got married, you had to figure out how you were going to do these things. How are you going to grow as a family unit? How are you going to mature in that role? Men have a role. Women have a role. And if you're blessed with children, they have a role, right? When you had children, you understood that you thought you needed to learn patience when you got married, and then you have children. How many of you know that? That boy, oh boy, that changes the whole new concept of patience. And you learn. What I'm trying to suggest here, friends, is we need to learn who this God that we worship truly is. And we cannot do that by sitting on our hands. We have to be involved with Him. That's why it talks about, in verse 3, I'll read it again. Let not mercy and truth, and truth is so important, forsake thee. Bind them on thy neck. Write them on the table of thy heart. So it has to be in the inner being of our very selves that we understand our relationship with God. And if we can truly understand who God is, we will fear and respect Him. And then we will keep His commandments. So before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to have some time in prayer. So if you're struggling with some of this in your life today, talk to the Lord. Ask Him for His leading and guiding. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Blue hymnal once again, 247. He hideth my soul. For those who are able to stand the same, please.
Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me.
I want to thank you for that singing and that playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. So as we continue, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 7, verse 1, sorry. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do we go about cleansing ourselves? We seek forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We seek forgiveness for the things that we have done, things that we have said, things that we have thought, and the things that we have not done that we should have done. We can probably all relate to some point you had an opportunity to witness for the Lord, and you didn't. It happens. I was talking to an old friend not long ago, and he was telling me they had taken a trip, and they had gone to Mexico. And he had seen this gentleman on the beach wearing a Winnipeg Jets jersey. So he decided to go over and have a little visit with this man from maybe Manitoba. So he goes over and he begins to talk to this man, and he just mentioned that he sure liked flying to locations better than driving. They had driven to Kentucky to see the Noah's Ark. This man looked at him and he said, "What's a Noah's Ark?" And my friend didn't know what to say. How many of you have had this happen to you? You froze. That's what happened to him. He froze. He didn't know what to say. So he left. And as we were discussing this, I just said to him, you know, maybe God's preparing you for something else. Learn from this. You had an opportunity. You were presented a chance to witness for God. And by your own admission, you're saying you failed. Good for you that you recognize that. Now learn from it. And he was going to take that to heart. He was really going to try to do better. And so that's something that we need to understand, that we won't always have it all figured out. But if God grants us another opportunity, then let's be responsive to it. Let's learn from some of the mistakes that we make, because we do make them. That's part of being a human being. But let's not make an excuse. Let's learn from it, and let's grow from it. I want to turn back to Proverbs here for just a minute. And in Proverbs 8, verse 13, here's what the world teaches: love. We should just love. That solves all the problems. Just love. But is that truth? Is that actually what the Bible tells us? Look at what it says here. When we look at Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's not love. We're to hate evil. And then it says pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. What does that look like? That means, to me, what I glean from that passage of Scripture is when we see that, we stand up for the truth, and we rebuke what they're doing or saying. Because here, pride. Notice that's the first thing that's mentioned. Pride. Why did Satan get thrown out of heaven? Pride. God does not like pride. So if sometimes we need to get knocked down, don't we? Because we have pride. God doesn't like that. And there's many passages of Scripture that talk about that. Being arrogant. How is it that we have so many people that are arrogant? Why is that? If we fear God, we understand something very, very basic, so to speak. If God turns off your heart, you die. If God takes away your breath, you die. There's nothing you can do about it. So why are we arrogant when we are all made the same? In that sense, we are equal as human beings. So we should treat people with respect, but we also need to understand that we cannot fall away from the truth. And remember, Jesus told us that we will be hated. As believers, we're going to be hated because of our, what we're supposed to be standing on, and that is the truth. Are we bold enough to stand up for truth? I wonder what's going to happen in the future. Will they close the doors of our churches? Will we have to go to underground church? Will we have to speak in code? I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling here. Because if you do not know this, our Canadian government is trying to make this book, this Holy Bible, illegal. That's what they're moving forward to. If we have fear and respect for God, we will hold on to this book. And you know what that's going to mean? We maybe get thrown into prison. My wife and I have been married for over 36 years. I cannot imagine me being thrown into one prison and my wife being thrown into another prison, and I will not ever see her again. For me, this is just me. This might not even be how my wife is thinking, but I would rather seek death. Because if we understand God's word and we are truly a believer in Jesus Christ and we've accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, what happens to us when we die? Where do we go? We are bound for heaven. And I would rather be bound for heaven than go through all of that. Be a better place. And it's not a pleasant thing to think about. I know that. We have children. I want to see my children get married. I want to become a grandpa. I would love to have all those things. But if that's not meant to be, I'd rather be with the Lord. What kind of respect and fear do we have for God? What does it really, really look like? You know, we're coming up to Christmas here, and we're going to be going through the Christmas story, and I find it interesting. When the angels appeared, what's the first thing they would say to the people? They would say, "Fear not," because I don't know, if I would see an angel, I might get a little jumpy. But those were words of comfort. And then they would share the good news. So in that aspect, it's a little different. But here in Luke chapter 1, and I just want to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and look what Mary does here. She is visiting Elizabeth, and then what's recorded. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Do you suppose Mary had a relationship with God? Absolutely. There's no doubt here. The question is, do you and I? She had a fear for the Lord. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." She's exalting God. Holy. She's revering God. She's celebrating God. And that is what we need to do. That shows the fear of God. Not what we talked about earlier when people are misusing God's name. Here Mary gives us a wonderful example of how to show that she feared God. Absolute, total respect. And it's something that we can learn from. So do you and I have this fear for God? Now, maybe this is a very familiar passage to us, but let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 10. And it's something that I just referred to a little bit. But verse 28, it says there, these are Jesus' words, and he's talking about fear. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body." So what he's referring to here is, don't be afraid of another person who can kill you. Then he goes on to say, but are not able to kill the soul, because they can't. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is the one that is capable of that? That is God. That is God. So, do we have the fear and respect of God that we should? Because, friends, we are in His control. Your decision while you are here on this earth will dictate where you go. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet our Savior? Only you can answer that question. I can answer it for myself. You can answer it for yourself. But it takes you and I to seek forgiveness, to accept Jesus Christ, and be obedient to His commandments, not the commandments of the world. And that is something that is happening more and more as it infiltrates our churches and infiltrates our schools and our communities. It is like a cancer. It is destroying from within. How many of you are familiar with some old history of the Trojan horse? Do any of you remember the Trojan horse? Here's our young group. They go, oh yeah, we know that. They taught us that in school. Okay, so the Trojans were going there. I can't remember who they were fighting, but they went into battle, and they wanted to try to get into the fort of their enemy. So they built this massive horse, and they rolled it up to the door, to the gate. And inside that horse was the army. And their enemy thought it was a gift. So they rolled it in, and at nighttime, guess what happened? The Trojans came out of the horse and destroyed the enemy. They came within. And that's exactly how Satan is trying to destroy the church. It's a reality, and we need to put a stop to it. We need to make sure that we are rooted and grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ and Him alone. So in conclusion this morning, I want to turn to the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 9. There's a test to what I'm going to read, so you got to pay attention now. Here's the question to the test. Who's the writer talking about? You should be able to get this. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who's him? That's the question. It's Jesus, right? And given him a name which is above every name. So Christ has been exalted. And the world will say and use his name in vain. That's not exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and given him a name which is above every name. So we are to exalt him as believers. And look what will happen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, so in absolute respect of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Question to you. Do we look at the world and see that it is crooked and perverse? You cannot turn your head any way without seeing that in our world today. So we are in that. And then what's the response to that? Is we are supposed to be the lights in this world. How do we do that? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we have to hold on to the word of life, the Holy Bible. We hold on to that. We live it, we breathe it, and we share it. And that's part of the labor. Yes, love is important, absolutely. But we have to abhor that which is evil, and we have to recognize it and rebuke it, and we have to deal with it. Are we ready? Have you put on the armor of God? My hope and prayer is that we are ready to go to battle for the Lord and for each other as believers in Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that there are so many challenges in this world. We can hardly express our thanks and gratitude that you overcame this world. You have supplied for us every need that we have. You look after us. You watch over us. You protect us. You give us strength when we are weak. Father, we just want to exalt you and glorify you for who you are. You are our salvation. You are the Creator. We thank you for your goodness. Again, for your mercy and your love that you show us. Help us to be able to discern. We need to discern what is good and what is evil and call it what it is. So, Father, we just ask that as we go forward from here, as we journey in this world for as long as you give us breath, that you would control our hearts and minds, that you would continue to lead and guide us and give us direction through your word, that we'd be ready to be those soldiers and those lights in this world that you have called us to be. Father, we just pray for those that have no desire to have fellowship with you at all, that you would soften their hearts, that you would pierce their souls, that they would understand that they need you as Lord and Savior. And Father, for those of us that have accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, that we would continue to walk with you and that you would lead and guide us. We thank you for the comfort and strength that you offer us. Father, we praise you for this time we've had together. We ask that you bless each one that has come. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. Again, for all of you that are willing and able. So at this time, I would just ask that you pray for whatever is upon your hearts. So please kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Blue hymnal, page 361, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Page 361, for those who are able, can we stand to sing, please?
Lord, bless this speaking's name. Good morning. Am I a soldier of the cross? Very fitting song to Pastor Jeff's message. He gave us a challenge this morning. Am I a soldier of the cross? Are we going to fight for God? That's a very good thought to leave with this morning. That in your mind, and have a very blessed Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. 5,000 pierogies. And that's for what?
That's the gift boxes and other missions.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. I hope you enjoyed that time together. It's a nice way of building community within the church setting. I'd like to thank you all very much for coming this morning. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of this morning's worship service. Thank you to the song leaders and the pianist. Thank you for those that are in the back recording. And for all of you that have any part in the church at all, whatever that is, if you're sitting in the pews, or if you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever you do, it's all important for the church to function. So may God richly bless you. So I've come to a conclusion of this message this morning, and I'd like to bless you with a benediction that we find in Jude. Let's bow. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Do you have ushers? Robert? Okay. Okay, then you are dismissed. Thank you for coming. God bless you.